Dream Vocabulary is not your typical word of the day podcast. We don't just define words, we contextualize them in terms of their history, etymology, politics, and aesthetics. In other words, we look at the cult behind words. I'm here with Aaron.
Ow, hey, ow.
Well, that's too loud.
Sorry.
Abe.
Well, excuse me. Crunching on his thing.
And unfortunately, we are without Efren today, but he did leave us something, a piece of literature that we're going to use later.
I'll do my best to recreate Efren's reading.
Today's, his voice.
I don't know if I can.
Well, we'll see when we get there. It might really turn some of our listeners on. And that's because today's word is...
Fetish.
Feticcio. I actually don't know how you would pronounce that in Portuguese. Aaron?
Feticcio.
Fatiço or feitso.
Feijoa. That's the bean soup.
Yeah, it came into English from Portuguese.
Interesting.
I think one of the theories, or at least the suggestion that one of my sources says, is that it probably came into English during... During the Portuguese trading days, back when Portugal was a major power, a major player in overseas trading. And partially what they were trading was African goods. And some of those were totems, you know, like little idols, statues. Yeah. And so they were trading that, and they called those the, again, I wouldn't know how to pronounce it in Portuguese.
Fetish.
Yeah, some fetish.
The
idol statues that they were bringing, these little totems.
Was it like a loan word from some African dialect or something like that? Or did they?
Straight
Portuguese word.
No, that's a Portuguese word, and it comes from Latin.
Oh, okay.
It comes from the Latin facticius.
Oh, interesting.
Which is just a word to make something.
Oh.
Like artificial, yeah. To make something.
Yeah. Synthesize.
Or it's like, look at this. It's kind of like if the Portuguese were saying, like, hey, look at this little artwork or something like that.
Interesting.
Like if we think of it literally, right? Look at this little artwork. But I'm sure that the Portuguese meaning had something to do with the fact that it's a religious item.
Oh, I see. Fetichia. So did people get really into these little statues?
You mean that they become a fetish in the way we use the word? Maybe.
Were they fetishized, yeah.
I mean, the items are being fetishized, of course.
Oh, literally they're being fetishized in the economic sense, where they're like in a bubble evaluation or something like that. They're like highly sought after rarities.
Right, because, African items at that time were
rare.
Considered some, valuable little items.
You know, when we talk about fetishization, it usually does have something to do with, like, a foreign thing. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Exoticizing something, yeah.
Oh, it's exoticized. It's fetishized.
Fetishized, okay. Yeah, but to make something exotic, maybe I'm making up a word, but... You know what I mean, I hope.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think Marxists would like to use the word fetishize or the fetish to talk about consumer capitalism and the way we treat the objects that we buy or how we obsess over these things, these items.
Yeah.
And how these items...
Conspicuous consumption, right?
Yeah, how we conspicuously buy these items because we want them and we want to be seen with them. But also the fact that these items, we tend, I guess, there's some kind of like secular worship of these items that we're enacting when we do that.
Oh, yeah,
that's why they use that word.
The cult of iPhone. We forgot about that from our last episode.
The cult of iPhone.
Yeah, but, you know, fetishizing the product and, following it devotedly.
Mm-hmm.
Like that one guy who's always the first one in line in the iPhone store, like 5 days before the release of whatever, mm-hmm. iPhone 11.
So I forgot to mention that the Portuguese also considered the feiticeria, right, the fetish, something related to magic or sorcery, witchcraft. So there you go. That's the...
Is there any connection to, like, French, a fête, you know, like a big party, a big soiree?
I don't think so, because let's see.
You know the word, right? Like, you know, he was feted by the, you know, giant gathering, you know, like a celebration.
I don't know. I don't think so. Because it does go from Portuguese into French into English, and I think the English pronunciation or version of the word is based on the French version, which is the fétiche.
Fétiche.
Yeah. So I really don't know if it's...
You know, the Americans, the fétiche.
The Americans with their fétiches. I can't do it. Sorry.
As you're pumping
on a cigarette. Yeah, can't do it. Anyway, but... Okay, so that's the kind of etymological history of that word. But, I mean, we do think of... I guess we should say that fetish today is sex and idolatry.
Is it, though?
Is it?
The word is quite often associated with that, though, yes.
Well, okay, so again, we have a word, fetish, that we use today, where it seems like different meanings of the roots are kind of converging on it. Mm-hmm. For one thing, we have the exoticization. But not all fetishes necessarily have to be exotic. So that's an interesting thing to me. Like a lot of times we may talk about having an Asian fetish, which I suppose means that you are more attracted to people from Asia. But then we also just have something like a foot fetish, which means something as banal or mundane as a foot is what's getting you... getting your goat? Is that the word? No, that's not the word.
Getting your goat?
It is titillating you in a way.
Oh, titillating, yeah.
Yeah. There's also, by the way, when you get into the foot fetish like territory, there are branches of it too, like where some where it's like only it's only okay if a woman walks on me, and that's when it's appealing or titillating. Or it's only when I walk on her or something like that. It's so weird. Yeah, it's weird.
Hmm. Well, that the idea of fetishism is what we're talking about, right? The idea of fetishism as sexual comes from 1897. The quote says something like, "The fetish is the person or part of the body or object that excites the sexual partner."
So you can have a fetish for particular body parts, like which is normal,
right?
I mean, normal in the sense that it's common that we see that.
Right, that, well...
Why is it that men like rounded objects? Okay, let's not go there. Family-friendly show, folks.
Well, I mean...
See, I'm developing my own filter.
We're talking about fetish, so, I mean...
It was bound to happen.
This one's not a family... This episode may not be the one that you play in the car for your kids.
PG-13, at least.
Yeah, that's kind of a late warning.
Good point. Well, no. All they know is that men like round things. Hey, there are a lot of round things in the world. Balls, for example.
Men like playing with balls.
Baseballs, basketballs.
Volleyballs, footballs. Well, that's not round.
Yeah, I do think men fetishize their own bodies. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, the way they talk about testicular masculinity, you know? Like... I'm a man because
I got the brass
testicles, right?
Yeah, brass balls or the grapefruits, or
yeah. And think about just the fact that we have so many euphemisms for it, right?
Right.
Keep going, please.
Twig and berries, stones, so, stones.
Yeah, the
it's
stones.
Always it's usually yeah. very like brass stones, hard things. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think all the
eggs.
Words for it. Yeah,
eggs are a little breakable, though.
Yeah, exactly. They're fragile. Yeah. And they scramble.
Huevos.
So we fetishize our own bodies? You mean like we need our own balls to get off?
I think so. I think science proved that.
Well, I think,
but like the idea know, right? of our own balls.
Okay.
Here's one thing I want to dispel real quick.
Thank you for saving me.
I've heard it said that a fetish is something you need to be aroused, but I think that's only in extreme cases, right?
Well, yeah, if that's what it takes and that's the only way it can happen, maybe it can be classified as such.
Yeah, but that's not the only thing that can be a fetish. It could also, a fetish can also just be a weird preference or something that gets you from a level 7 to a level 8, something like that. 7 to 10.
What's 1 through 6 then?
1 through 6, you can still pee.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Wait, is this all happening because Efren is not here?
I don't know.
I wonder if this is the kind of conversation we would have if Efren was here.
Efren would be encouraging and egging it on, I think.
Okay. Well, yeah, okay, so...
He's going to enjoy listening to this later.
I just think it's
Efren
interesting.
Has a podcast fetish, did you know?
Along with brass balls, but yes, he has a podcast.
He can only make out when he's listening to podcasts.
You know he's going to listen to this, so be careful.
I was going to say... okay, I just find it interesting that the beginnings of the word does begin in this kind of like... these idols or totems, right? Begins with the idea of idolatry, and then as we move on into the century, 19th, 20th century, then the word takes on a sexual connotation. And that, it just in itself is kind of interesting, like to think that people use the word fetish, which has to do with, like, again, like religious or worship or whatever, right? And then we say, well, you know, sex
but
is
not
a,
your
a kind
own
of
religion.
Religion. What's that?
But it can't be your own religion. It's like an exotic religion in our context, right?
Right.
Like the Portuguese were thinking of other religions as...
A fetish.
A right. fetish, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. The West African religions at the time that they were raiding from.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Or so communities. It's kind of a way of othering sexual desires or something like that.
Sure.
Like, because you're not, yeah, your desires are exotic or something like that.
Your desires lie in what is exotic. It doesn't necessarily matter what that exotic is, as long as it's classified as such. I think.
Or just being odd or...
Different. Walking a lobster, like, around the park, like Oscar Wilde did.
So how strange is it, though, to like feet? Because
feet smell.
Well, yeah, but I mean,
they don't always smell.
You could enjoy, for example, like just giving your wife like a foot massage or something, you know, and you just like that, you know.
Yeah.
Like, but would that be considered a fetish?
It's the sensation of touching and intimacy, and you know, providing relief.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think of like a foot massage the same as a back rub.
It's pretty stimulating.
You're helping the person relieve stress or something, and you enjoy that you're helping them relieve stress. But
it might get you somewhere.
Okay, but is that the fetish, or is it? Does it have to be absolutely sexual to be the fetish? You know,
I don't know. I don't think
or the
so.
End of sexuality too, where it's like I finally got to the feet. You know, like I had to.
Yeah.
I had to have sex with her. I had to make out with her. Finally, she's letting me do the foot thing, you know.
That's the goal. Okay.
Like, that's the goal.
Yeah.
If it's your fetish, right?
I mean, yeah, you would go to that extreme if that was, what required it to be, yeah.
I feel like we need some women to talk about fetish properly.
Good luck.
So they
good
can
luck
talk about
that.
Their own fetish.
So that this podcast isn't just totally disgusting and gross.
I'm all for that. I mean, I like hearing the female perspectives on things.
No, because I would wonder, though, like, okay, do you, you know, I would, if there was a woman here, I would say, like, do you as a woman feel like there is a foot fetish, you know? Like, do you like men's feet or something like that?
Oh, men's feet.
Yeah, like, do you have a fetish?
You don't hear that
feet?
One
do
right? often, do you?
Yeah, well, that's why I'm saying it. Like,
yeah.
I think I knew a woman who had a like a hand fetish.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, but did she like big, like rough hands or something like that?
No, it wasn't. I think it was just like the concept of hands was meant something to her, which I always thought of like kind of like she likes what differentiates humans from animals or something like that. Like there's something exotic maybe in a way about the human hand and the way it's constructed as a non-paw. But I don't know. I have no idea what kind of hands she preferred. What kind of hand feet do you prefer?
Me?
Yeah. Do you have a foot?
No, I already said what I like. I enjoy the idea of.
I mean,
massage,
maybe
you know?
Maybe she appreciates a big burly hand and also like a delicate hand. You know.
Oh, okay. I get it.
Exercising contrasts. Yeah.
I mean, I think when it comes to feet, it's all about. Probably about some sort of like a golden mean, right?
Please elaborate.
Not too delicate.
Oh, okay.
Not too strong.
Right, the right amount of pressure.
Yeah.
Okay.
But feet are also interesting just because of the idea of worship that when kings, when you reverence kings, you would bow at their feet.
Kiss their feet,
It's like the foot is the kingly fetish, I guess.
Yeah. Kiss my foot. Kiss the big toe. Like, the big toe.
Like, you know I'm better than you. Yeah, I'm more powerful than you. Bow at my stinky feet.
Power play humiliation all the way, yeah.
And, you know, I know this isn't... The word of the day isn't the foot fetish, but I am into, like, just totally dissecting this particular one. If the foot is kind of the debased thing, and it's also, by the way, how Jesus in the Bible showed his devotion to his
disciples.
To his wash disciples.
Their feet.
Yeah, he washed their feet. He said, your feet are accepted by me, you know, and it's kind of like a metaphor for how we're going to be accepted in the kingdom despite our filth. So to be attracted to a good foot is almost to be like
to be a perfectionist.
Yeah, to see a foot that rises above what a foot is meant to do. You know, it's like
the golden foot.
I think it has to do with, you know, human civilization and society and all the ways that we are able to shield ourselves from the elements. And create just like a new system of being, and because of that, it's really hot.
Are you getting dehydrated?
Probably.
If you hear us crunching on stuff, by the way, it's because we're fetishizing M&Ms that Aaron brought us.
Yeah, it was a bad move. Addictive tendencies kicked in.
No, it just means that there's a big crunch throughout the podcast.
I've been trying to move away, so I don't know if it's been
caught. I like the part where we poured M&Ms into a little lid, though. That was not disruptive.
No, not at all.
Okay, so the dude who is totally servile to the king and who loves bowing to the king.
Ooh,
the jester.
That dude is the fetishist.
Oh. Oh, the toad, the obsequious toad, right?
Yeah, that dude.
The guy who's always fawning over and bootlicking. Bootlicking. Yeah. So there's another term
the
right
bootlicker,
there.
The bootlicker, yeah.
Mm. But also the one who likes getting their boots licked, I think, is a little out there, right?
Sure. I bet both.
Hmm.
Can we pause the pop?
All right, we'll be right back with Literature Corner. On each episode of Extreme Vocabulary.
Each week, yeah, right.
Someday. Each episode of Extreme Vocabulary features a piece of literature that uses today's word. Even though Efren's not here with us today, he left us a piece of literature that Aaron will be handling.
I will do my best.
Take it away, Aaron, and what are you reading today?
I am reading a poem by David Barber called Aria. Never heard of it, never heard of the poet David Barber. Now I'm interested after having read it. I'll do my best to do my Efren impression. It won't sound nothing like Efren. I'm just going to try and speak with conviction. Read poetry the way it's supposed to be read. And yeah, practice, you know, the core diaphragm muscles and all that that I've been working out lately. I think it's going to be.
Could you talk more about your diaphragm?
Yeah, I'm just trying to, you know. It's a visual thing. Sorry, folks. Aria by David Barber. What if it were possible to vanquish all this shame with a wash of varnish instead of wishing the stain would vanish? What if you gave it a glossy finish? What if there were a way to burnish all this foolishness, all the anguish? What if you gave yourself leave to ravish all these ravages with famished relish? What if this were your way to flourish? What if the self you love to punish, knavish, peevish, wolfish, sheepish, were all slicked up in something lavish? Why so squeamish? Why make a fetish out of everything you must relinquish? Why not embellish what you can't abolish? What would be left if you couldn't brandish all the slavishness you fail to banish? What would you be without this gibberish? What if the true worth of the varnish were to replenish your resolve to vanquish every vain wish before you vanish? That's the poem. So, fetish comes in when he's, oh God, where is this stanza? 1, 2, 3, 4.
He says, why not? Why turn everything five. Into yeah. a fetish, right?
Right. Why out of everything you must relinquish? Oh, I'm sorry. No, not that one. Oh, man.
Well, I think there's a bit of irony as you look for it.
I'm sorry.
The poem itself seems to fetishize, I would say, rhymes.
Ish. Okay,
there it is.
The sound ish,
yeah.
Okay, yeah. Fifth stanza. Why so squeamish? Why make a fetish out of everything you must relinquish?
So it's ironic in the sense that the poet is saying, like, why are you fetishizing stuff? You know, and then... And he's also maybe suggesting that he is trying to relinquish something in the act of this poem. Maybe it's as if the by obsessing over it, it relinquishes that urge or whatever, something like that.
Title of the poem being Aria, A-R-I-A, very ambiguous. Sounds like a woman's name.
Well, aria is a type of music. It's a musical form.
Okay. Could also be a name, but yes.
Yeah, but I think...
He's playing an aria on the G string, maybe? Or no, in this case, it would be not the G string. That's too happy.
What?
Aria on G.
Not on the G string, just in the key of G.
Oh, in the key of G.
Usually...
I'm not a music person.
Yeah,
like
usually
y'all.
The instructions from the composer aren't that you, you know... confine yourself to a single string, but maybe a single key is okay.
Yeah, sorry for the technical mishap, okay? I'm not a professional.
No, I was only laughing because of our topic today and the fact, and what you said, that combination.
Wait, so did you find where he says fetish then?
Yeah, I just read it, the fifth stanza.
Say it again, please.
Why so squeamish? Why make a fetish out of everything you must relinquish? Why not embellish what you can't abolish? That last line is really cryptic to me, but okay.
Okay, so he says, why not relinquish what you must abolish, right?
Right.
Why don't you just do away with the things that need to be destroyed? But then in the next line, it suggests that... Say the next line again.
Why not embellish what you can't abolish?
That's the opposite. Instead of relinquishing it, embellish it. Mm-hmm. And those are the things that you should destroy. And I almost want to say... I know this poem's not about fetishes necessarily, or maybe it is, but the idea of embellishing something while you relinquish it kind of is a good definition for a fetishistic attitude towards something, or a fetishistic relationship with something, would you say?
No, I buy it.
Like, I love feet. so much that I'm gonna paint its toenails, you know what I mean?
Right.
And then it's gonna somehow, I'm embellishing it while I'm also kind of hopefully giving myself some sort of catharsis for that drive, that desire.
It's very paradoxical, but yeah.
Which works. Is kind of what the form of the poem, I think, is doing here, where it's almost like an insane idea that a poet would have. I'm going to make as many words as possible,
yeah.
And in the ish.
Yeah, vanish, vanquish, varnish, finish, burnish, anguish, ravish, relish, flourish, punish, sheepish, lavish, fetish, relinquish, abolish.
It's almost like...
brandish, banish, gibberish.
It's almost like a poetic tick or something.
Right,
and that yeah. He's finally scratching. He's finally letting go.
Yeah. Sounds like a whip. Maybe.
Shh, shh, shh. Oh.
I don't know.
I like that. Yes, yes. Like, whoosh,
whoosh. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the sound of the whip.
Ooh.
Whip it good. There, we have the song already, by the way.
Oh, my God. You are. And you know what? Since we're pressed for time, let's go with it.
All right. Okay. Well, I guess we're not going to go to our next segment because we're there. We're going to whip it.
Make sure you use the G string to whip it.
What is it about?
Whip it in G string.
Well, that was for the... this is fetish, not cult. Cult was the other one.
They're similar, by the way. That's why I...
Do you have a cult fetish?
When we were talking about cult and fetish, when you guys told me that those are the words we were doing, I was like... Somebody thought of them together. That was Josh, right?
No, I didn't. Hmm?
It just happened organically. Maybe?
I didn't think of it.
Okay.
I don't know.
It's synchronization.
Those are actually two different things. The things I was thinking about with fetish were fetus and fetid. Or
fetid.
Fetid, sorry.
Which is like rotten, yeah.
Yeah, I was just wondering if those had a similar root. Because FPT, I don't know what that is.
We can do that next time.
Yeah, maybe we can think about that next time. And then cult, I was just interested in because of culture, cult...
We didn't even talk about occult.
Oh,
the occult.
You're right. We didn't.
We can't get them all. We're not Pokemon here.
But we can get all the fetishes. If we end this podcast early enough, we'll all have enough time to pursue
whatever your fetish is. If it's a watermelon, go for it.
It's not too late.
I don't know why watermelon fetish just popped into my mind. It seemed like a really prominent thing. Everyone would know watermelon fetish, right?
I guess I'm going to have to look it up.
I don't know. It just came to me. I think the universe was just, sent a lightning bolt.
Thanks for listening to Extreme Vocabulary. Our music is from Arnold Palmer Golf by Tokuhiko Uwabo and Wagyan Paradise by Erika Imura. Those are video games. Email us at extremevocabulary@gmail.com or find us on Twitter and Instagram @extremevocab. We'll see you next time. Oh, yeah, sorry. And this is...